Violet, written by Scott Thomas and read by Cassandra Campbell.
Prologue. Under the River. She knew almost nothing about the history of the town. She did not know that once upon a time the town was not a town at all, but a wound in the gypsum hills overrun by Johnson grass, musk thistle, and milkweed. In those days, the Verdigris River slithered like a brown muddy snake through the lowlands, the curve of its back brushing up against the towering stalks of thick weeds. The Kiowa called this place Poya Sapatson, meaning hidden water, because not a glint of sunlight on the surface of the river could be seen from the steep ridges overlooking the area. There was no reason to go down into the impenetrable brush. There were no animals worth hunting there, no vegetation worth picking. The town itself seemed to appear out of nowhere, a collection of small one-room structures along a dirt road etched into the wild countryside. At one end of the basin, the gypsum hills parted like stone curtains, just enough to allow the road to enter. At the other end, the dirt path hugged closer to the river, following its curve around the bluffs. And then, suddenly, the path shot straight north, as if startled out of the odd valleys, back into the vast Kansas prairie. She did not know that the town's name, Pacington, was nothing more than a bastardization of the original words. But many had forgotten its origin. By the time the first shop owners opened their doors along Center Street, the Native Americans living in southeast Kansas had long ago been relocated to Oklahoma, as more and more white settlers found their way between the river basin, fewer bothered to consider the people who had lived there before them. The untamed tangles of brush and vine along this section of the Verdigris River belonged to the town of Pacington. She vaguely remembered the stories her father told her about the day the Army Corps of Engineers began construction on a reservoir just outside of town. Their intention was to control flooding to the farmland along the river. But on the second day, workers broke through into a chasm hidden beneath the river floor, unleashing a body of water buried eons ago by the shifting earth. It swirled up through the lazy current of the Verdigris and pushed its edges deep into the surrounding forest. In a matter of minutes, the river became a lake, the fleeing water moving too quickly for man or machine to escape. Two workers lost their lives that day. They were swept down into an ancient abyss, the depth of which easily swallowed 50 feet of a toppled crane. The equipment was recovered, but the bodies were not. Some said they just kept drifting down, down, deeper into the dark, endless waters of that underground lake, forever falling into the earth. Those unlucky enough to own property along Lower Basin Road were paid a reasonable sum by the government. The peak of one roof breaking the water's surface was all that was left to remind them of what they had lost. A new site farther south, near the town of Ulaga, Oklahoma, was chosen for the intended reservoir. And so the Army Corps of Engineers left behind an accidental body of water and more than a little of their pride. In a single day, Pacington was transformed from a river town to a lake town. For a while, the government's blunder appeared to be a blessing in disguise. The water in what became known as Lost Lake was remarkably clear. A sliver of glass nestled between the red gypsum hills. The cool blue oasis was a summer destination for locals desperate to escape the sweltering heat of southeast Kansas and northeast Oklahoma. Pacington was a refuge. The contrast between the pristine appearance of the lake and the brownish-green waters of the Verdigris River that fed into and from it were striking. The explanation was fairly mundane.